Hello and welcome to the Planet Prana Yoga Podcast, featuring guided meditations, yoga classes, and yoga nidra, hosted by Zen Jen and brought to you directly from Cleveland, Ohio. Practice, connect, grow, heal. Hello everyone, I am your host, Zen Jen, and this is episode 37 of the Planet Prana Yoga and Meditation Podcast. Thank you so much for listening in today, and happy 2019. Happy New Year, everybody. Some reminders about the podcast. The podcast lives at my website, planetprana.com. You can link to the episode post with show notes and resources about topics we discussed in the conversation, and you can listen in there as well. Consider leaving a review on iTunes to help my podcast get more exposure. Also, please consider sharing with friends and family who you think might enjoy or benefit from the content of this podcast. And as always, feel free to reach out anytime with an email to planetprana@gmail.com. So let's get to episode 37. This is a two-part episode on the topic of astrology and yoga, featuring an interview with Jennifer Young in part A, and a recording of Jennifer's astrology and yoga workshop in Capricorn in part B. This is a new topic for the podcast, and I'm excited about how it weaves into the season-long theme of root connection, as the sun is currently in the earth sign of Capricorn until January 21st. Jennifer hosts a monthly astrology and yoga workshop at Awaken Yoga and Mentor, and we chose to focus in on the energy of Capricorn because it's an earth sign. So Jennifer talks about grounding and slowing down to connect to ourselves in a mindful and thoughtful way during Capricorn season. And in the interview, we discuss Jennifer's background in astrology and yoga, and why she decided to combine the two practices, and how she formulates and plans each monthly workshop agenda to correspond with each sign on the tropical zodiac. Jennifer also discusses the energy of Capricorn and explains in detail about the Capricorn workshop featured in part B of the episode. She also shares some of her favorite resources in both astrology and yoga. 37B is a recording of Jennifer's December workshop in Capricorn, recorded just this weekend on December 28th, 2018, at Awaken Yoga. So please be sure to take some time to nurture yourself this season, to listen in and practice with Jennifer and her astrology and yoga workshop in Capricorn, featured in the second part of the episode. Two more things. Jennifer incorporates essential oil blends into her monthly workshops, and this month she collaborated with the local company Venus and Aquarius Apotheca. And she makes the Capricorn blend, which features the oils of vetiver, cypress, bergamot, and lime. Secondly, this is the third podcast featuring the work being done at Awaken Yoga and Mentor. And it's truly a testament to how much I appreciate what's being done at this studio. And I feel it needs to be shared. I highly recommend a visit to a class or a workshop at Awaken. If you haven't already been there, please go check out their website and see what they have to offer coming up. You can link to the website on my website on the episode post for 37, and you can also go there as a reminder to see show notes and resources of anything that we discuss on this episode, as well as some information about the sequencing for the workshop itself in episode 37B. And so before I begin the interview, I'd like to remind you of your true nature. You are a radiant and boundless being of light and vibration. Be guided by love and compassion for yourself, for all beings, and for our beautiful home, Mother Earth. Enjoy episode 37. So here we are. I am here tonight at Awaken Yoga with Jennifer Young in the fabulous Mentor, Ohio. A beautiful Capricorn evening. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. That was a really lovely class. Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. So I always like to start the interview with learning about how you came to the practice of yoga, or how did it come to you? How did it all begin for you?
I took a yoga class at this little church in Hudson in like 2002 or three. The teacher's name was Larry, and I've recently found him again, and I'm considering going down there, but my friend Kandra and I went, and it was like a $5 donation, knew nothing about yoga. And she's like, come on, let's go try this. I'm like, all right. And I don't remember like anything really, except that we were in a lunge. And I remember he adjusted my hips, and I've never felt anything like that before in my life.
Wow.
I was like, what is this? What's happening? And I remember I liked child's pose. And that's all I really remember. But I remember afterwards, it was one of the nights that we used to go out, and I was like, I don't want to go out. I'm like, I feel great. I don't want to drink. I don't want to do anything. And that always stayed with me. And I don't know why I didn't go back to it. Maybe it just was like too powerful or something.
Yeah.
And then I really didn't do yoga again until maybe 2013 at the Movement Factory.
Wow. So you went that long between your first class and your next class?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Wow. Yeah. But you went back.
Yeah. I was working in Lakewood, and the Movement Factory had just opened up in like January of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And Alyssa Wilmot, who owns it, offered $8 classes to people who lived in the building. And I'm like, well, yeah. So we used to go for lunchtime at like, it was like noon on Wednesdays and Fridays. And I finally got my husband to go. And I was trying to get him to go for like 6 months. And I was like, if you come with me, I will never bring it up again. And he was like, fine. So he came, and he still practices, which is really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. And then my mom passed away. James and I left that job.
Wow.
Moved to Euclid. Which was a really great move because the house we live in is awesome. And even though my mom's gone, like, she left that house in great shape.
It was your mom's house? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's really special.
Yeah. Well, we didn't want to sell it, and we didn't want to keep watching it forever. And
yeah,
I didn't really care for Lakewood that much. So we moved back here, and I've known Jen since high school. And been kind of like, you know, we've kept in touch over the years. And I'm like, oh, you got this yoga studio. She's like, yeah, come take a class sometime.
Oh, yeah.
So I walked in the door, and she was like, oh, my God, what are you doing here? And it was great because I totally surprised her. And then I started going for a little bit. I took, like, the beginner's series with Jen, which was great. And I just started taking classes over the next couple months. And she's like, I'm offering this teacher training, which was Vinyasa. And I really liked Vinyasa, and I did the training, and that's it.
Did you start teaching here after you did the training?
Or? I started teaching at the Movement Factory at the end of my training, like by donation. And then Alyssa was like, I would love if you kept teaching here. So I teach there first Fridays. I was doing it every Friday for a long time, and then things got a little busy and crazy, so I'm just doing it once a month now, which actually works out better. It's a better class. It's longer. It always runs, which is great.
Yeah.
And then I started teaching here last September.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And now I'm in the the Dharmakeshtra program with Atmadarshan and Nityatara, which is...
Yeah. Are you doing the teacher training or the yoga nidra training with
them? It's the 200-hour yoga therapy.
Oh, yeah.
So the nidra was in there, like included in there.
Yeah. That's a program that's like a national program, isn't it, that Nityatara is part of?
Yeah. She's been working with him since like the 90s, I think. Yeah. And their combined experience is like
it's amazing. Yeah, they're amazing teachers. Mm-hmm. So you weren't intending on becoming a teacher. You just kind of were convinced to do the training more to deepen the practice, or were you really interested in becoming a teacher, or was it a little bit of both?
I think it was deepening the practice because I thought, okay, I can go to all these classes, but I want to know the behind the scenes stuff.
Okay,
I want to know the stuff.
Yeah.
And then the first couple months of our training was practicing.
Yeah.
You know, doing a teacher training is like taking a really focused workshop, you know, like break down the hours and that one-on-one time and then growing with other people, it's really great. I think it was like in our fourth or fifth month, we had to start teaching each other, like with the cards from the toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get nervous about it, which was really weird. I thought it'd be like, you know, whatever. But she just sprung it on us. She goes, you three are going to teach each other Shavasana over and over and over. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So I felt like a student. And then when I went to, you know, do Shavasana for them, something happened where I was like, I'm a teacher now. It was really weird. It was really cool. Like,
wow.
I just felt that.
Yeah.
And I come from an art printmaking background.
Yeah.
I went to Kent for printmaking and
wow.
And to, you know, if somebody would have asked me 5 years ago, you're going to be a yoga teacher, I'd be like, what are you talking about? You know, but it just fits.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. You know, sometimes you have more than one calling.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. You immediately felt that role of the teacher the first time you did. And I love that she asked you to teach Shavasana first.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Jen's awesome.
She's awesome. Wow. So tell me now about your background with astrology.
It's just been a lifelong interest, mm-hmm. like since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've always kept really private because, you know, people judge or
absolutely.
I take it too personally or whatever. But just lots of books, articles. I'm going to study with Catherine Urban in the new year.
Okay.
Which is really exciting. I Time Passages, the app for the iPhone, is a great place to start.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
Okay.
Yeah, because people
ask all the
time. I
will put that in the resources. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have any like formal training. It's just, you know.
I think you have to be a little definitely intuitive and in tune with the wheel of the year, which
agreed.
You seem to be very much so.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you kept it private. I know another person who was very similar, who's also a yoga teacher and very passionate about sharing astrology.
It's cool.
Yeah, it just blends so well.
Well, and even if it does, people don't believe in astrology. I don't believe in astrology. I just think it's a way to get to know yourself.
Absolutely.
And the world around you. Nothing is set in stone, but if it can be like a guide,
mm-hmm.
be like a little map.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that's really made sense to me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's the only thing that's always been right, I guess.
Yeah.
And if something doesn't sound right away, I'll be like, oh, astrology has taught me perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you get out of your own mind and see things differently.
Mm.
And that's a goal, my lifelong goal.
Yeah.
Because I want to know everything.
I feel like that too. We have to scale back a little bit though sometimes. I love that you said that it makes sense to you, because I feel the same way. I don't like dive too deep into it, but I am in tune with the cycles of the moon.
Yes.
You know, I've always read my, you know, I've never had my chart done, but I've always, I know. See, your eyes just got real big. I need to, I know. But I've always been very curious.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Ayurveda is the same, though. It makes sense.
Yes.
But the common theme there is it's part of the cycles of nature, right?
Right.
And what's happening around us all the time.
And that's how I look at it. It's not like, oh, well, Aries are usually courageous and blah, blah, blah.
No.
Like, you can't break it down to personality traits, because that has nothing to do with
it.
It's about the energy that surrounds it.
Yeah.
You know, I think we can all agree that there are, like with these workshops, there are certain times of the year that you always feel this certain way.
Yeah.
You know, like during Capricorn season, you know you're going to be looking at your bills because you spent way too much in Sagittarius season. Like, that's how it goes, you know? And during Aquarius season, it's like, okay, you know, artificial intelligence, you know, you're working in your lab, you know, you're doing this stuff. Lots of humanitarian things happen at that time of year in January. You know, everybody's revisiting, and in February. And then Pisces season, it's like,
things start
everything's dead. I'm listening to all the sad songs, you know, that stuff is real. And then all of a sudden spring comes and it's like, you're reborn again. And that cycle starts all over again.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It really is. It does. It really makes a lot of sense when you just pay attention.
Yeah. And sometimes I will purposely not read or listen to anything, you know, look back at my journal and see, you know, what made sense, because I also don't want to get too confused by other people's interpretations.
Yeah.
Because sometimes if you just listen to you, you know, like, oh, I'm being really moody today, I'll look at time passages. Oh, the moon's in Cancer. That's why. You know, I'm serious. Yeah. It happens all the time.
Yes.
And I just like the knowledge and all this stuff. It's, and it never changes. It's like, this is what, like, it does change, but it's like, this can mean this and this and this. And when you look back through things like chronologically through time and what rules this and what rules this, even if it's like there's no scientific data, it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
It's cool to talk about that stuff. And, you know, maybe you have a conversation with somebody and it's not like, I don't want you to agree with me, but like, let's talk about this so we can like make up our own theories and, you know.
Yeah, I love that you'll just kind of feel the energy and you'll just, then you'll see. Then you'll look and see, where's the moon right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like to cheat, but sometimes I want to, I want to see what it's all about.
Yeah. You know? No, that's really cool. So how, you kind of answered this question about how, oh wait, no, I didn't ask you this yet. I didn't ask you, what is your sun sign and how has it helped guide you? How has it guided you in life and then also in your yoga practice?
My sun sign is Aries.
Mm-hmm. So that's like the first of the wheel of the astrological sun signs?
I feel like the beginning of the year should start on March 21st.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Of course.
I mean, Christmas is made up anyway. But so I'm an Aries, but like through like learning about astrology and learning about myself and all that kind of stuff, I'm like, there has to be more to this.
Yeah.
Because there's other parts of who I am that are not Aries at all. At all. And I'm like, so then I started getting more deep into it and I'm like, I have a moon sign? I have a rising sign? What is all this stuff? So then I started looking into this and I'm like, oh, this makes sense. And then I realized that, so in your natal chart, you're always going to have your parent stuff in there too.
Oh.
And so my, I'm an Aries sun, but it's in my Capricorn house, natally, not generally, in my chart. And my dad is an Aquarius. My moon is an Aquarius. My rising sign is Cancer. My mother's rising sign was Cancer. So,
oh, wow.
Because they say you choose your parents.
Yes.
And then I looked at my brother's birth chart, and my brother has way more of my mom in his chart, and I have way more of my dad. And I've had a couple readings, one with Catherine and one with Lisa Turner, who's in Medina. And they're both very different astrologers, but a lot of the info overlapped. But a lot of it was different, but all still made sense because they just read things differently in the chart. And I mean, weird. And they both told me, you know, like, we're not psychics. We're just reading your chart. And Lisa knew how I lost my mom.
Yeah.
It's, she's like, you had a woman leave you twice. Ooh. And I said, yeah, once when I was little and then once when she passed.
Wow.
Catherine knew why I moved 15 million times in college. She, you know, and she posed the question. She didn't ask me. She's like, so you moved a lot when you were in your 20s. And I was like, yeah, like 13 times. And she was like, oh, that's because of this and this. And I'm like, how do you know that? She's like, that's just what your chart says. So it's really great to not only get a reading, but get readings from multiple people.
Oh, yeah.
because it's not that one person's right and one person's wrong or whatever. There's so many layers.
It's true.
And it's real cool. And if it helps you figure out you, because everything mm-hmm. is in you. Yeah. All the answers are in you. You just have to unpack it and figure it out.
Yeah.
But if you can use all these different tools, then you can, you know,
yeah,
start to
figure it is. It's out. A tool. So it's another tool.
It is.
To help or, us on our
like,
journey.
Knowing that my rising sign is Cancer makes me realize I can get really, really emotional. And it mm-hmm. used to be something that I hated about myself.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm taking this too seriously or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
And then you can find that stuff out and accept it and love yourself for it.
Yeah.
Instead of hiding it or trying fighting to be it. Somebody that you're not for yeah. other people. Because it's just pointless.
Yeah, it is pointless. So how does all this knowledge about your chart guide you in your practice, your yoga practice?
In my own practice?
Yeah.
Knowing my limits and accepting and honoring my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did the vinyasa training and I tend to go too hard, like mm-hmm. in Aries, like just keep going. So I use that Aquarius knowledge to like plan, sequence stuff, and do stuff more related to the heart. Mm-hmm. I don't have any earth in my chart.
Wow.
Or not much. So I know that, okay, well, when I go to the woods, I always feel better. So that's something that I need from the fire and the air and the water to ground me.
Yeah.
You know, and that might seem silly to some people, but
oh no,
I don't care. I like my life and I've learned to enjoy my life so much more since I've learned this stuff about myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I like that you're mentioning the elements. As I told you, the whole theme of the season, the whole season theme for the podcast is root connection.
Mm-hmm.
I've been kind of diving into the study of the root chakra.
It's heavy. I had an inner wisdom session with Jen a couple weeks ago, and we only focused on the root chakra.
Oh.
Things came out of my mouth that I have never been able to say.
Oh my gosh.
Listening.
Yeah, she's been telling me about
my
that
body.
Stuff.
Oh, you gotta do it.
Yeah.
She'll rock the world.
I'm scared.
It's so good though. I had a pain in my hip thigh
mm-hmm.
for over a year. I went to a chiropractor. I did physical therapy. I did water therapy. I changed my practice. I stopped practicing. I practiced more. I went to the gym. Nothing helped it. Yeah. And it got to the point where it's like, is this my life? Am I going to have this pain my whole life? Like,
yeah.
What am I doing wrong? Which is one of the reasons I started going to Iyengar,
which
would help a lot. It helped with the physical stuff. It helped with my alignment and stuff like that. But then I realized a few months ago, I'm like, this has to be an emotional thing that I'm holding on to.
Yeah.
I did a crystal meditation with Tammy, who works here. And then 2 days later, I did the inner wisdom session with Jen. And I'm not going to say that the pain is completely gone, but the energetic pain has dissolved.
Interesting.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So this
book a session with her.
I'm going to now. You sold. So I want to ask you about this, this blending of astrology and yoga. I mean, I know no one's really doing it, but doesn't it seem to make perfect sense?
It does. And that's, you know, and that's what I think.
So what made you like decide to just go for it? Were you encouraged by?
Okay. It's kind of a long story, but okay. I will make it short. So I've always been interested in astrology.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in college, I had this idea that I was going to do all of these prints, combining screen printing, intaglio, monoprints, relief. I came up with this photosensitized wood intaglio thing, and I was going to use all this ephemera, and I wanted to do one for all the signs.
Yes.
And every time I would attempt to do it, it just wouldn't work. Or I felt it was too literal. Or I didn't want to be ambiguous about it, and I think I was too attached to the idea that I couldn't let it be a piece of artwork. And I would keep revisiting it like every year, but there was never an outlet for it.
Wow.
And then, so during my audit class in December of 2016, we had to create a namaskara. And it could be anything. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, why? And that was December. I was like, oh, why don't I do a Sagittarius Namaskara? So it was like within the sun salutation, when you would be from downward dog, you would step into like this low warrior and then do the bow and like aim, you know, for what you wanted. Yeah. And then we would do it on the other side. And then the next time it came around, you would be in a high lunge doing the warrior with the bow. And then I did this like mandala around the mat and it was really cool. And then when I was creating that, I'm like, why don't I do a namaskara for every sign?
Wow.
And then I can make cards that I can print on my letterpress and people can write in them as a journal. And then I'll make this oil blend that goes with it. And I was like, ah. And then so I...
Oh my gosh, I love it.
So I wrote it all to Jen and I also wrote it to Emma, who owns the black market. And I was just like, I want to do this somewhere. And Emma was like, yeah, I'll do it. And at that time, Jen was like just scheduling for the year. And she was like, I don't know, you know, like, can we do a test later this year? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. So I was doing it at the black market. And then I started doing it here. And then I stopped doing it at the black market and only doing it here. But then I realized after a while, people weren't really that into the journals. And the amount of time and work I was putting into it was ridiculous. So that's where my ego comes in. That's where that Aries is. It's like I'm all in my head. Why don't people love this thing? And I'm like, okay, well, they don't, but they really like the oils. And then I realized the time that I was putting into doing the letterpress was taking time away from designing the classes. However, still have the letterpress. I will one day make the prints.
Yeah.
But it's just not ready yet.
Yeah, interesting.
So blending it with yoga, I'm thinking, you know, there's elemental route, mm-hmm. there's chakras, there's the sign. What does this sign need to be balanced?
Yeah.
Or if anything, just bring awareness to a certain thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's also poses that lend themselves to those things, like Pisces. Absolutely. For fish. You know, and warrior poses for Aries, mm-hmm. and, you know, watery hip openers for Cancer, and it's already all there, and I'm like, ooh, you know, and I'm making a thing, it's like, what would be good for this sign, and what would encourage this, and what would kind of bring them back to reality, or when whatever that sign is, you know?
Yeah.
There's so many things to draw from.
It's really a great blend. It really makes perfect sense.
Thanks.
I'm happy you're doing these.
Me
up
too.
Here. So you kind of mentioned, so how have the workshops so far been received? Have you done a full year of them so far?
Yes.
Yeah.
This past year, Scorpio made 1 year. I started doing them for Libra here in 2017.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because when I post it, I always get like 3 or 4 people sign up right away.
Immediately, yeah.
And then nobody signs up. And then 3 days before, that's the rest of the workshop. Every single time. However, I usually get about the same amount of people, anywhere from 8 to 18. Mm-hmm. And it all depends on the sign. The most people that come, Scorpio.
Of course.
I had to open up the registration for Scorpio twice.
Of course. That makes sense.
Yeah. Crazy.
So do people come based on their signs?
Some people do.
Or do people just come because they want to know the energy of that month or that cycle?
I think that more than the sign and maybe they're interested.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't know their moon or their rising sign.
Right, yeah.
Some people do. Like when for my Aquarius workshop last year, I asked the question I asked tonight. Who is an Aquarius? Whose moon is an Aquarius? Who's... rising sign, and one girl raised her hand and said moon in Aquarius, and I was like, me too. However, only Gemini and Scorpio, more than half of the people were that sign.
Oh.
And all the other ones, it was like maybe 2 or 3 people were that sign. But I think some people come because they have a spouse that's that sign, or a sister, or a brother, or a parent.
That makes sense. And I think it's cool just to come to just to feel the energy of that of
right.
this time of the year.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm an Aries, you're a Libra.
Yeah.
We all have all the signs
right.
in our chart. All the houses are ruled by different signs and that's natally and generally.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots and lots of layers. So what I'm offering, like, I want everybody to know about this, but it's kind of hard because, you know, what do they say when you're ready, the teacher appears?
The teacher appears, yes. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right, so now let's get a little more specific. Tell us about the energy of Capricorn as we sit here on this lovely Capricorn evening.
Okay. I feel like Capricorn is the fun's over. Let's get down to business. You know, and like I said in the workshop, and that's why around the end of February, January, that third week of January, people's resolutions start getting weak, and, you know, everybody signed up for the gym January 1st.
That makes so much sense.
But by February 1st, it's like, I don't want to go to the gym. I'm not strong enough, blah, blah, blah. So it's like the resolution and that energy of Capricorn where it's like, like I said, like the dad, the father, what's my legacy? What do I want to leave behind? You know, and that can be very discerning and discriminating and aloof, but sometimes you need to be that way to get stuff done.
Yeah.
You know, and like, all right, well, this didn't work out. I'm not going to take it personal. Let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. And I feel that a lot because there's that change of winter, you know, this initiating time. All right, I know that there's at least 3 months that I can do the work, you know, like people like, well, I want to wear a swimsuit in the summer. You got to start doing that work in Capricorn season, you know, because then you have more of a chance to stick with it because there are the rewards. But like I said, a lot of Capricorns can be very like, they don't want the praise. They don't want the help. Like, this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It's fine. This is what I'm doing. Get over it. You know, get over yourself. So Capricorn season for me helps me get over myself.
Yeah. Interesting.
And just get it done.
Yeah.
Yes, there's dishes. Just do them.
Yeah.
Just do them. And that's hard, you know?
Yeah.
Not to do the dishes, but having that kind of work ethic is hard, but I think during Capricorn season you can kind of tune into that. And then also when the moon changes phases, it's like, you know, when the moon is in Capricorn, that might be a really good day to get something done.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and maybe when the moon is in Cancer, maybe that's a day that you stay at home and make soup.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds great.
You know?
That makes so much sense. I never... Because I guess I just haven't paid that much attention to the Capricorn because I've always been focused more on my signs.
Mm-hmm.
That makes so much sense of why we set our goals, why we set these intentions and resolutions, and then why they flop three weeks into January.
Yeah, because you got all these bills to pay.
Yeah.
You got all this holiday weight to lose.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking the tree down and you're putting it back in the attic and you're putting away all your gifts and your presents.
Yeah.
So there can be this like sadness about Capricorn season. But I think if we can look at it as like, wow, look at the bounty that I really do have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that can help you be a little lighter about it.
Yeah. So what's the element associated with Capricorn?
Earth.
It is an earth sign. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's the third of the earth signs.
Okay.
But it's a cardinal sign, so it initiates a season.
Okay, right.
So Libra is an initiating of fall.
Of fall, yeah.
Aries is initiating of spring.
Okay.
And Leo's, or Cancer is initiating of summer.
Summer, okay. Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's cool stuff.
All right, so let's talk about the workshop. So think the people that are going to be listening to this podcast, they're also going to do the workshop because that's going to be kind of a part A, part B part of the workshop. So go in detail about the workshop. I kind of have a series of questions here.
Okay.
So who is the workshop for? We kind of talked about this a little bit, but
I feel that it's for anyone.
Yep, I agree.
I really, really pride myself on making my classes accessible for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
From the seasoned yogi to brand new, because I feel that yoga meets you wherever you are and whatever day that is, you know, not the body you had 2 years ago or the body that you're going to have, you know, in January when you're going to the gym, it's where you are today.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in training, I had to use a lot of modifications, a lot of props. And I still do for some things, but I got really good at incorporating them into my practice because I never want people to feel frustrated.
Yeah.
I don't ever want them to feel behind, and I don't ever want them to think that they have to, you know, push through. No, don't push through, you know? So I try to work on that pace. That's something that I think about all the time to make sure that, You know, because there's going to be some people like Aries, Capricorn, mm-hmm. all those cardinal signs that are like, see, I did it. You know, I got to the next thing while maybe we're still on the second rib breath yeah. where somebody's like, they get antsy and they want to come up here.
Yeah.
And it's making you stay in that space of your body.
Yeah.
Not your neighbors, not the teachers.
Yeah.
So I feel that it's for everybody.
I would totally agree with that. So what can one expect to gain from this workshop?
I think just being aware and tuning into the energetics of the season and like, mm-hmm. like those questions, like why do we make New Year's resolutions? Mm-hmm. You know, why do we not want to spend any money in January? You know, little things like that, that can kind of get somebody's attention to want to learn more about astrology, whether they're into it or not.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think we can all agree that that's what happens at this time of the year,
exactly.
You know, and like in the summer when it's Leo season, it's hot, it's gross. It's so hot and you're like burning up.
Where's the pool?
Right. So I think all the astrological seasons have something that we can learn mm-hmm. and it just keeps you moving with that wheel of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and when it sucks in the winter, yeah, there's always summer, but summer doesn't have the peace that winter does.
No, it's so peaceful.
You can't look out the window and be like, that's so pretty,
yeah.
you know, or just enjoy that quiet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, I love that. Let's see. So what do you think one should do with this knowledge to help guide us this time of year with regards to the workshop?
Awareness of wintertime.
Yes.
I think especially where we live.
Great.
People just, they want to turn completely off until it's spring.
Yeah.
So, but there's so much you can learn and so much to gain. It can be a really magical time.
It is.
You know, everything's quiet. Everything's, you know, dead or dying. But underneath the ground, all that stuff is still happening.
Yeah.
It's stirring. The seeds are, you know, they're under there. And that heartbeat is still going
yeah.
underneath the earth. And just because it's bad outside doesn't mean that you can't enjoy going outside. Yeah,
yeah,
you'll get muddy. You can get some mud on you. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, you
just
can go outside
up.
If it's raining. Go
yeah.
take your dog. Go volunteer to take a dog. Go just go be outside. And I think like that's what you can learn from this. You know, Capricorn initiates this 3 months
mm-hmm.
of winter and it has this initiating quality. So it's like, all right, you know, I'm going to get my stuff together. You know, I'm going to be better this year, blah, blah, blah. But then all of a sudden, you get into Aquarius season or Pisces season, you might lose sight of that. And there's nothing wrong with sitting on your couch and reading for 10 minutes, 3 hours.
Yeah.
Take that time. Because when it's busy in the summer,
yeah.
you're not going to have time for that.
I treasure it this time of year.
It's important.
I really just love this time of year to just be still and be
yeah.
quiet and enjoy the dark and... I like the snow, too. I wish there was some snow.
There will be.
I know. I know it's coming. I love that. Was such a great answer.
Thanks.
So you used this essential oil blend that we all got to take home with us. That
mm-hmm.
was fantastic. So
yeah,
tell
that's
us
the whole point.
Tell us about that. I want to. So tell us about the gal who makes it, what her company is. I'll put that all up on the
okay.
on the website.
Samantha Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
She runs Venus and Aquarius Apotheca. Right before I started doing these workshops, like at the black market when I first started doing it, I'm like, I wonder if I should try to like get somebody to make these blends for me. Because I dabble in aromatherapy. I am
yeah.
not a master whatsoever. I just do what sounds good to me and make sure my dilutions are good, make sure that it's safe.
Yeah.
And I do like my own reading on it and stuff. So I thought about reaching out to her, but then something inside me was like, no, it'll be weird. And I got weird on myself about it because
yeah.
like she doesn't know me. And that's one thing that astrology and yoga has really helped me to just find my voice and
yeah.
ask for what I need. Somebody, and like my mom used to say to me, the worst thing that somebody can do is say no.
Yeah.
Always smile at everybody. The worst they can do is not smile back. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, mom, you know,
aww.
Those are words of wisdom
they
that I hated
are.
Learning, but
yeah.
they're so true.
Yeah.
So I started making them just by thinking about, okay, what does Aries need? Aries is in their head, so Aries needs to come down into their heart. Making things like a sweeter kind of blend. Soften it up, like orange, patchouli,
mm-hmm.
Grounding.
Yeah.
And I don't always do something opposite, but something not necessarily opposite, but balancing, because opposites are still connected.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not so extreme.
Yeah.
And like the Cancer blend has like vanilla and lavender and just real like yummy, sensual kind of stuff. You know, then I think about, you know, what part of the body the sign rules and, you know, trying to think about it like that. Like the Pisces blend, I actually did a workshop in Nashville this past year.
Oh, cool.
And I did it here too. I was visiting a friend and doing some printmaking work, and his wife owned a studio. And he was like, do you want to teach a class while you're down here? I'm like, well, I could do my Pisces workshop. He's like, okay. I only had three people show up, and it was like 1 week's notice, but it was still three people. It was sweet. And, you know, I had them put it on their ankles and stuff and on the soles of their feet, because putting essential oils on your feet is probably the best way to put it on your body.
Yeah.
Because it's slower and easier.
Yeah.
So I've been doing them, and it's not that I don't want to do them anymore, but every year I'm like, oh, I don't want to do the same blend as last year. What do I do? And like somebody like Samantha, she's done that work to figure out how many drops of this is not going to overpower this. And I don't want to do that stuff.
Yeah.
So I would rather support another local artist and have her do them.
Yeah.
The same blend, just, you know, kind of like special mini size, for these workshops. That way that lifts her, that lifts me.
It's great.
And she's, you know, great at it.
Yeah, she's good.
So
what's in this Capricorn blend again?
It's lime, bergamot, vetiver, and cypress or cedar wood. I'm gonna have to edit that.
Okay, get back to me on that.
Do you have your bottle with you?
I do. I don't think it said it on there.
It does.
Oh, it does?
Oh, yes.
Instructions. All right. I'm going to look at it and I'll write it down on there.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll go back to that.
And hers lasts too. The first thing I ever bought from her was her Aries blend.
She said a little goes a long way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was on her Etsy site the other day and was checking everything out. Yeah. I'm like, ooh.
Her shop's on vacation right now.
Yeah. That's what, yeah.
It'll be back.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so we're going to move on now to talk about some resources. Just a few more questions. Okay, and actually I was asking, what is your favorite astrologer on the web?
Ann Ortley.
Ann Ortley?
Yes.
Yeah, I've heard about her.
The Weekly Weather?
Yes.
I love her.
Okay.
I never miss an episode.
Wow.
And if she's late, I'm like, where is it? And like usually every week on Facebook, I'm like, did you listen to Anne? You know, and I'll post it and stuff. And sometimes like going back to that checking later, I will purposely, she comes out with her podcast on Sundays.
Okay.
I will purposely not listen to it. And then I'll listen to it on like Friday or Saturday and see what she said about the week. Some days I just listen to it. Because I don't want too much to influence my life.
I know.
But then there's sometimes where it's like, I need this information, because she's great. She will tell you, look in your chart to see, you know, if you have a planet at this many degrees, you could be feeling this way. She's not like, this is this and this is this. Okay. It's more like, this could be happening in your chart. If your Chiron is in Aries, or if your South Node is in Cancer.
Oh, like, okay.
When I first started listening to her, it was really overwhelming because I didn't really know what she was talking about.
Yeah, because if you don't know those things,
but it might... But you just listen.
Okay.
And then after a while, you're like, oh, I know what that means. I know what a square is. I know what a trine is now.
Yeah.
And you just know it by listening.
Yeah.
I love her.
Okay. I listen to Kathy Beal, Empowerment Unlimited. She's the astrologer for Om Times magazine. Mm. That's how I found her. She also does a weekly podcast. And then Chani Nicholas. Are you familiar with her? Yeah.
Yes. Love her.
She's pretty popular.
Yeah, she's great. Mystic Mama.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yep.
Chani.
Mm-hmm.
Catherine Urban.
Okay.
Lisa Turner.
What about local? Are there some local astrologers?
Catherine and Lisa are local.
Those are local. Okay.
Catherine's in Ohio City and Lisa's in Medina.
Okay, that's good to know for Cleveland people. I'm going to make a note of that too.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite yoga resource? You can book, web, whatever. I just threw that one in. your eyes just got so big.
The Yoga Teacher's Toolbox.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Book is...
Yeah.
Amazing.
And that's not just for yoga teachers. It says that a lot of teacher trainees use it, but any yoga practitioner can use that.
It was in my training, my vinyasa training.
Yeah, a lot of trainings use it.
So I have two copies. because, yes, you know, they did the revise, but that's fine. Let's see. I like Yoga International.
Me too. That's my
favorite. I have a membership and it's been invaluable.
Exactly.
When I was going through this stuff with my hip and my my leg, I didn't know what a psoas was.
They have a psoas workshop on for members.
There's one called Psoas Love.
Yep.
I did it today.
Nice.
Every time I do it, I'm like, that's it. The Doug Keller workshop's on there.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. There's some great teachers.
There's some great teachers
on there.
There's, I can't remember her name. There's one woman who specifically works with people who have Alzheimer's and Parkinson's.
Oh, yeah.
And exercises that help to cross the body and the meridians and help help the brain. My dad has Alzheimer's and my neighbor has Parkinson's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's like the stuff that I'm learning is really helpful.
There is so much on that website.
Yeah. It's amazing.
The membership was like $15 a month. It's so worth it.
Absolutely worth it.
Especially for yoga teachers, but really for anybody who just wants to do online yoga, because
the teachers are... practice.
For your own practice. I do, like, in the mornings, those half-hour practices. You can look it up by time duration.
Yeah.
And the teachers are amazing.
I also like Yoga with Adrian.
I love Yoga with Adrian. She is something special.
She's got jokes too.
Yeah, she's great. That's so funny. And I just learned about her about 3 months ago. And I was like, how did I not know about her? And a lot of her stuff is free on YouTube, but she also has a membership too.
I was doing that to supplement when I was in my training.
Yeah.
Because the training was, you know,
intense.
And I needed something a little...
Her stuff is for everybody. It really is. She has... it's really for everybody. It's very, very accessible yoga.
Yeah.
And she's just sweet.
Yeah, she's adorable.
Yeah. Okay, so last question. Any final thoughts or nuggets of wisdom about using astrology and yoga as a tool on your path to well-being?
I think that if the stigma around astrology could be dissolved a little bit, I think people would realize that it's just learning about yourself and your world and the cosmos. And, you know, it's the cosmic drama. What you believe is what you perceive. And if you can learn and see all these different ways, you can realize that, oh, it's not just me. There's all this other stuff. And... you know, like Nitya Tara says, what happens in the microcosm is the same in the macrocosm, and it helps me feel more connected. And so does yoga. And I feel like you can use the zodiac as kind of like an archetype. You know, some people look at Hindu goddesses and gods, deities, and, you know, female empowerment goddesses. And, you know, there's so many different ways to find out about yourself.
Yeah.
And they can't be in one thing. It's in everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I think like, okay, well, if I can learn something little about this, it's taking those nuggets.
Yeah.
And making, you know, your own self and,
yeah,
you know, I think it helps to clear the path of stuff that you don't need to waste your time on.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, obstacles can be really good. You know, for example, Ganesha. Ganesha is one of the only deities that I am drawn to. I don't know why. There's lots of other ones that I love learning about, like myths of the Asanas and stuff. I really, really love that. But there's something too personified about them for me. But with the Zodiac, it's kind of like, I don't know about space. Nobody does. You know? And it's that makes me think like, wow, you know, like when you think about the hurricanes that are existing on Jupiter right now, it makes my stomach drop.
Wow.
That's sweet.
Whoa.
You know?
Yes.
One thing that I did want to mention is the day that I realized the universe existed, I was sitting on the front porch with my grandma. She passed when I was a teenager. She was a magical, magical woman. She was the woman who wore jean shorts and taught all the kids in the neighborhood how to play baseball. She was not a regular housewife type of woman. And we were sitting on the front porch at her house in Collinwood, and we used to have this dictionary that had these glossy pages in the middle of like the solar system and like the oceans and all this stuff.
I remember those. Yeah.
It was really sweet.
Yeah.
So I was looking through it and I was like, you know, looking at the planets and I was like, you know, what's after this? And she was like, it goes on forever. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, that just goes on forever. There's stars in space. It never, ever ends. And my brain, like, she blew me away. And I'll never forget that. Just the expansiveness that we're not only able to be here,
yeah,
but to think about all of that. It just blows my mind. So
yeah,
all the stuff here, it's kind of like this all comes and goes. But, you know, that stuff's forever.
Yeah.
And we're all made of that.
Yeah. We're kind of just floating around here on this
yeah,
little third rock from the sun.
We're all just floating in space.
Oh, my God. I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was really, really cool.
Good. I'm glad you liked it.
Really great. Yeah.
Gosh, I really learned a lot.